by them reading my six-page proposal, it sounded like I was a scam artist. And I was totally taken back by that because I've never had that reaction before. And they told me that they had turned it in to the PAC president, Ms. Lillian Davis, and she told them the same thing. She thought that I was a scam artist and that they rejected the proposal for the Children's Free Breakfast Program, which, come to find, also was a lie. As I go along through the story, you will see that these people have been lying to me for the last 2 years, that I haven't violated any rules or regulations under HUD or CMHA as far as giving away free food, providing food for the children in the community, and also the adults in the community as well.
And this type of criminalization and attacks on people who are simply feeding the hungry is something we've seen across the country with the arrests in Tampa of Food Not Bombs repeatedly being arrested simply for going out and feeding people. What do you think is behind it? What's the motivation there to shut down programs meant to help the neediest?
The case is similar, but as things went along, it basically wasn't the establishment. It's basically this thing was being orchestrated on a much more personal level between the Vice President Gail Clark and also the manager for CMHA here at the Wilson Tower, LaShonda Vaughn, the building manager here. It was basically them two, not so much the CMHA or HUD. Come to find, the CMH and HUD actually will allow me to cook for the kids and also give, you know, and feed the adults here too. So it was more of a personal thing, other than, you know, the big brother, you know, trying to stop me from feeding the children and the people in this community. But across the United States, it is horrible. You know, the Food Not Bomb kids in Florida are friends of mine, you know, Jimmy Dunson. We go back, as you do, to common ground. And I think that's insane. If you have hungry people, you feed them. If they don't have any clothes, you clothe them. If they don't have a home, you give them a home to stay. I mean, we stay in one of the most powerful countries in the world and one of the most wealthy. So it doesn't make any sense not to be able to provide these services to the needy.
Well, and there is a political background as well, and the free breakfast programs began in, I guess, the early 1970s with the Black Panther Party beginning them in cities across the country. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about that kind of political origin of this type of work, in that the Black Panthers had a 10-point platform that many people maybe aren't aware of and only know the organization as opposed to white supremacy, but not necessarily standing for an alternative.
Well, as you mentioned, in the early, the late 60s, early 70s, the Black Panther Party had survival programs, and one of them did involve the Children's Free Breakfast Program, just to name a few, the Community Grocery Program, and also free clinics. They went in and sprayed people's homes for insects. They had a plethora of different survival programs. And it's exactly, I didn't invent the wheel. I'm doing exactly what I saw Fred Hampton do in a documentary on PBS when I was in the third grade. I looked at it and I told myself, one of these days, I'm a do that for kids. I'm gonna have my own children's free breakfast program. And I've been inspired by it ever since. The federal government, basically dismantled the Black Panther Party in the early 70s. I think the last arrested Panther that was on the run was 1982, and everything, Mutulu Shakur. Yeah, so basically they locked up everybody. They locked up pastors and movement people. They chased them out of the country, or some of them even took payoffs, and some were murdered, you know, because of these survivor programs that was catching on like fire, not only in the United States, but also all over the world. And the federal government has basically, and local government basically has duplicated. People don't know that's where the free clinics come from. People are not aware that's where the breakfast and the lunch program inside the schools, that's where that comes from. It was co-opted by the federal and local government to replace what the Black Panther parties were doing, to win back the heart and minds of society.
Sunseer Ali Shakur is the founder of the Haley Stone Free Breakfast Program at the Wilson Tower Public Housing Project in Cleveland. He has started similar programs in other places around the country, including Asheville, North Carolina, and Washington, D.C. He also helped found Common Ground Relief, a volunteer-run mutual aid support program for survivors of Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans in 2005.
Common Ground was put together a lot like the Panther Party was. Even Mumia Abdul-Jamal had did a story on how Common Ground was put together and the successes that we had. But the whole theory is you don't go in, you know, to feed your own ego or your own insecurities by doing something for another person. You go in, I mean, a lot of times I tell people when you're doing activism or you're joining an organization, you're supposed to be representing a certain part of society. See yourself in them. You know, if you can't see yourself in them, then maybe you're in it for the wrong reasons. Solidarity, not charity, was one of our slogans during 2005, the origin of Common Ground Relief, as a reaction to the devastation that the Gulf Coast took from Katrina and also Rita as well at the time. And basically, the slogan basically means is that you in solidarity with people. You're not just, you know, doing it out of charity. The Black Panther Party members were saying that when you're doing programs like this, it's not like a Band-Aid program. It's actually what you do, and what I do as well. I use the food to build the relationships with the children and their parents to identify other resources that they may need. Like the children that I've been feeding for the last couple of years, one of the things that I've seen, they come to me with dirty clothes. A lot of them come to me and their hygiene is not kept up that well. I'm not used to seeing little girls with matted hair that isn't done, or unmanicured heads on little boys. So not only are we feeding these children, but now I have a free laundry program for kids. I do one load, wash and dry. We pay for the detergent and bleach and everything like that. And the other thing that we are in the process of organizing is getting together professional hairstylists, people that can do haircuts and do basic hairdos for the young ladies. So when the kids come see me, the ultimate goal is a one-stop shop. They come and be able to get a meal. They come and get their haircut, and they can get their clothes washed all on Sunday. So they have at least a decent meal in their stomach before Monday comes. Their hair is done and their clothes are clean, getting them ready for school.
Wow. And so you've talked a little bit about the administration trying to stop you. Do you feel like this is, you said that you think it's more personal, it's not a national policy, although I know there have been crackdowns at HUD housing across the country in various guises. And I wonder, have you seen an increase since the new administration took hold in January?
I haven't personally experienced anything like that, even though I have observed from afar that it is going on across the United States, where you have Big Brother cracking down on folks trying to feed people, you know, in parks and so forth. Even in Asheville, North Carolina, where I started Children's Free Breakfast Program there, the actual president of HUD, and this we're talking about maybe 2012, the president of HUD brought me in, and we had a meeting, and he saw what I was doing, and he, you know, this is in Asheville, North Carolina, and he opened up the doors to me. He was like, yo, you're free to set up breakfast programs in all 10 projects. And then once they saw that I had identified that they actually had a problem, the HUD in Asheville, North Carolina, started a dinner program, so when the kids come home, they could actually eat dinner that, you know, that the Asheville, North Carolina HUD department, you know, provided for them. Like I said, in all fairness, you know, that's the only store that I have for you, you know, as far as HUD and everything.
That was Sincere Ali Shakur. I also spoke with Deacon Hodge, who runs the Manna from Heaven Soup Kitchen, which supplies the breakfast program with food for the children.
I've tried to help him feed the hungry kids in the neighborhood, and he's come up under a lot of resistance from the management and the apartment building. Since they cut the breakfast off, I've supplied them with little snack packs to pass out. It has nothing but Vienna sausages, a pudding, crackers, and candy. And some of the kids have told him that's the only meal they have for the whole day. When Sonny was in the shelter, he would take his food to give it to other men. Now that he's out and he comes down to help me on a regular basis, the food that we have left over, instead of letting it go to waste or letting people just be greedy over it, we would pack it up and take it back to the community that he lives in so he could give it to the kids and to their parents. And that has been a big issue where they won't allow him to do this.
I did reach out to the management of Wilson Tower and the Local Action Committee. I was told someone would get back to me, but no one did. Sincere Ali Shakur is asking for community support to keep his free breakfast program going in Cleveland. He can be contacted on Facebook, Sincere Ali Shakur. That's S-U-N-C-E-R-E Ali Shakur. People can also go to the website mannafoodfromheaven.org and give a donation. That's mannafoodfromheaven.org. Put a note that the donation is for the Haley Stone Free Breakfast Program. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Jenka Soderberg.
We are men. We are men.
All right. Thank you all, guys. Thank you so much. And thank you, Deacon Hodge.
Thank you, Deacon Hodge.
All right. And we'll have some more for y'all Friday, okay? All right. See you guys later.
All right. That brother and that queen, he beats and mistreats.
That's your lady, man.
Heaven creates strength for my people in time when they're feeling weak.
Help us all.
Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us. Heaven help us all. Heaven help us all.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of A Night with Steve Early, Monday, March 20th at the Portland State University Bookstore in Portland. Steve Early, author of Refinery Town, Big Oil, Big Money, and the Remaking of an American City, will speak and discuss his book, which chronicles the 15 years of successful community organizing to create the progressive transformation of Richmond, California. Again, that's A Night with Steve Early, Monday, March 20th at the Portland State University Bookstore at 1715 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening. The time's now 5:58 p.m. You're listening to Labor Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. I'm your host, Nick Bubb. With me is
Michael Cathcart.
And tonight we have a very special guest to talk about something very near and dear to all of our hearts, workers included. We are here to talk about healthcare and how to get that more affordably, how to get it for your workplace, how to get it for your workers. We have with us
Jamie Sorensen.
Jamie, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us. Mike, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing all right. How are you doing, Nick?
You know, things are on the up and up. We just got a contract through Local 290. We had a vote on Saturday. It got approved. We'll be getting 3.5% increase per year for the next 6 years.
That's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. It's pretty good. So, I mean, along with that, we'll get a little bit increase on our check. We'll get our health care fully funded and a small bump to our pension as well. So everybody is pretty excited. It got voted through with about 80% for it.
Nice. A big win for collective bargaining.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I promised that we would talk about health care, and we are going to do just that. The specialist here, Jamie, can tell us some things about that, but why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure, glad to. My background is I was a labor negotiator for about 5.5 years for AFSCME. I also served on the OEB board, that's the Oregon Educator Benefits Board, so kind of benefit design, plan changes, negotiating healthcare, and now I'm currently working for the Coalition of Kaiser Permanente Unions.
Great.
All right.
That can make you definitely well qualified to answer some of these questions everybody wants to know about.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So I'm in a union, and we have great health care. Incidentally, we have two options. We can either get ours self-funded, and under that scenario, we have the option to go to any doctor that we want to go to, but we're only covered something like 80%. And there's a deductible as well. Or we have the